stop on this train will be...
It's up to you, New York.
Swung on and hit in the air. The deep center. Fetch back. Away back. Yeah. She is gone.
City Friends. Is this thing on? Welcome to 161 Podcast. You have your host, Kevin Fuller. You have your host, Luke Rella. And you have your host, Damon Romeo. Is that how you say your last name?
It is.
All right, then we're good.
People call him Damien Romero.
Damien Romero.
So,
from the Spanish town.
Just to get things started, you are now entering a world of an unbelievable podcast experience with six kids in college and then one kid who's already graduated college but still can hang with the best of them. You got me. You got Rella. You got Damon. You got Brooks, red hair. You got Cortman. Half Asian.
Can't miss him.
You got Murphy. Beard bigger than his future. And then, who am I forgetting? Oh, Pierce. Yeah, you got Pierce. So, we are just happy to welcome you to this journey. And let's ride. So,
yeah,
I think we jump right into it.
Do you want to give him a little background of what's all going to be about? Because, you know, we have seven people here.
We do.
And but there's only three of us here. So, you kind of want to go into what that's going to be about in the future.
Yeah. For sure. So, being that six of us go to the same school, and we have one that's actually being successful with his life, we are going to have to rotate.
Wait, hold on a second. I was successful. I quit my career so I can pursue things such as this.
So, we'll definitely dive into Rella's past.
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
We'll definitely dive into Rella's past. But, since you have seven of us... You are never going to have all seven of us on a podcast because that would actually be agonizing to listen to. So we will just rotate, whether it's three, whether it's four, maybe the occasional two, and if you're lucky, the occasional five. But we're just going to be a rotating circus.
You know, we have four mics, so I don't know if that would work.
But yeah. So like two people have to share a mic. Not ideal. But you have us three for tonight. Us three, we went to the Yankees game tonight. A lot of pleasures.
Big W.
No pain. So we're just going to dive in, and we're going to talk to you about what we know about the New York Yankees of 2019.
Yeah, I think it's exciting time.
Chase for 28.
Yeah. I think it
started today. I think I think this is a turn of something a lot.
I think it was the coin. It was the coin.
Oh, do we dive into the coin right away?
I don't know. I think it starts everything off, you know?
Why don't we dive into
about
the
coin?
All right. So it all started, you know, I've had this lucky coin in my pocket for the past 5 years. It's a double-headed half-dollar coin that I use to gamble and get money from people in bars.
We don't gamble, though.
But right? I don't publicly dispose of that information.
No, runs in the first was the lock, by the way.
But yeah, runs in the first was a complete
didn't
lock.
Tell
but
anybody
yeah,
that
we're not gamblers. It's okay. Whatever. I've had this in my pocket the past 5 years, and when we moved into New York City, I lost it or misplaced it, and I had no idea where it was. And then, literally 2 months later, today, I put on these pants, which I guess I haven't worn in 2 months. And what's in there?
They look it.
My half-dollar coin. My double-headed half-dollar coin. And that was just the start of it.
What happened after that?
That was just the fucking start.
We had a day. So
yeah.
Tell me about this day.
I think Rella wants to go into more of the day. I think he's more excited about the day thing. I'm just gonna
excited about the day, to be honest.
Because the whole coin thing was my thing, but I think the whole day that followed was a resemblance of the finding of the coin.
Yeah. So,
and then we got to the stadium, then what happened?
So we found the coin.
Yeah.
I didn't care.
It was a big deal for me. It was life changing for me.
I just got back from work.
I shed a tear.
He shed a tear. He said, "Yo, this coin. Wow."
I probably
awesome.
Would have too.
Crazy. Like I didn't give a shit about this coin. Found the coin. He's like, "Yeah, I needed this coin. Like it was my lucky coin." Great. That's all I cared about, the luck. And that continued for the foreseeable future. The first lucky thing that happened. We get to the game. We're a little late.
Thanks, Sorella.
Got out of work a little late, on time, whatever, whatever it is. Get back. The guys are eating halal, recording. They're trying to test out the gear. Obviously, we're new to this thing.
Shout out to Halal on 86th Street. Those are my homies.
Yeah, it's one guy.
Tastes really good.
$6 chicken and rice.
Not bad, but back on track. So I come in here, and they're recording, and then he finds this coin, and I'm like, what is this? What does it matter? Whatever. Fast forward to the game. We get there. We're a little late. Get there middle of the first inning, I believe.
Yeah, it was transition from the first. Yeah,
we already are down 2-0. So basically, we missed that bad part. So there's been no bad things.
Yeah, we missed the home run.
We missed the JD.
We didn't see anything go wrong.
We didn't see the Red Sox score. So basically, sabermetric of the night, the Red Sox didn't score tonight.
100%.
I mean, in my book, I don't know about.
You really can't argue that.
I don't know about.
I didn't see any home runs.
We have nothing to argue about.
We didn't see a score.
Yeah. All right. So continue. What happened?
Barletta might disagree. Our Red Sox friend.
Barletta doesn't matter in this episode.
He'll be on this podcast. We'll have him in probably by the end of the series. But so we get to the stadium, and we go, and the lines are packed. They're packed.
Huge.
And there's no way of getting in at least till like the middle of the second, a full inning. So this guy, we go by. I'm trailing behind. I was a little wheezing. I don't know. But this guy says, like, you guys, there's so many other exits. The Yankees wouldn't build a stadium with only one entrance. Like, don't, like, there's multiple entrances. I was like, yeah, I get it. But, like, this is one's right here. And he was like, you know what? Fuck it. He opens up the floodgates, opens the fence, says, go, 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 go. And I, hearing that, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Down the stairs. You're calling
me
back.
Yeah, no, we were gone.
I'm calling these guys. Yo, Damon, Kevin. I said Damon only, but, you know, fuck Kevin.
Ever call me Kevin again, but we'll keep going.
Whatever we want to call it. But I say, yo, come back to me. This guy's Moses. He's opening the floodgates. He's parting the Red Sea. I need to go in there. So he opens this shit, like, on his own. This is his call. He didn't ask his manager anything. And he lets us right in. We skip the whole line, get in there, no problem. Honestly, saved us a good 20 minutes. So we get in the stadium. That's a good omen from the coin to begin with. Mm-hmm. Second thing. What was the second thing?
I see what you did there, Doc Coin. All right. Do you want me to pick up?
What was the second thing?
All right. Yeah. So
Ooh, whoa.
We get into this.
Bring it down a notch.
Gosh darn game.
Yeah.
We get in this game. So we already had the floodgates open for us. Wasn't supposed to be like that.
Good omen.
And then we're in the game, and then, of course, Brother Damon says, let's get beer, because what else does Damon know? And me, being my underage self, I hesitated before getting the beer. That's a lie. I love beer. But we go in to get the beers, and Damon is leading the line. We're getting our beers, and then all of a sudden we hear a nice pop off the bat. And, of course, Gleyber Torres just hit a home run. Not only a home run with runners on. How many runners on? Three. That means that three runners are on. He was the fourth. That's a grand slam. So we take a 4-2 lead. All right. So our good fortune is just started.
Are we the good luck charms, or is it just the coin?
I mean, we got there. The Yankees hit a grand slam. I don't know. You interpret it the way that you want. So we hit our grand slam, and then we're high on life. So we got a 4-2 score.
From August 2nd and on, I have not been at a loss.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a fair fact.
It's been a whole day. Yeah.
It's been
not even a whole day, actually.
The whole day.
But, so we take our 4-2 lead, and we go to standing room, because me and Rella have bought the pinstripe pass, which means that we have every month of, let's try again, Kev.
This month.
We have every game of this month for $100. That's like 12, 13 games for $100. I'll take it.
But last month it was 65 because we didn't play the Red Sox. They obviously jacked up the price.
When you open up with the Red Sox.
Last month it was 65, 12 games.
Well, also last month was All-Star break. So there wasn't many games.
There's 12.
Yeah, but there wasn't as many home games as usual.
It's generally how many they play in a month.
And it was 12, also and it was two, also an entire 24. Week. It was also an entire week of home games.
Oh, terrible, terrible.
Who's going to go to seven home games
month,
in a row?
Terrible first month to get
I mean,
the month
if,
they passed.
During
being
the days
honest,
of the week, though? Days of the week?
I mean, July,
I have a job.
I wouldn't have.
I have a job. I can't go.
I don't.
It's different. Just, yeah, it's
I
different.
Don't anymore.
Yes, but as people who are employed, you can't go to seven
but
games.
As people
in a
who are
row.
Employed,
during this month I was employed.
As people who are employed, you are the minority. We don't have jobs here, Damon.
Well,
Well, listen.
August 16th.
You succeed.
Listen, this is not about me.
2 weeks notice. I don't know.
Anyway, regardless. Yeah. All right. So we'll probably rant a lot, and we'll try to cut it down.
But we just did it. How every circle is a square, but every square is a circle. Right.
I had to slip it in. But Rella, before you start,
that's what she said.
So we will keep going. We're on our good fortune. We go to the standing room only because that's what we have, and we're not really finding good seats in the standing room because there's no seats because we're standing. But no good place to stand. So I, being the guy who I am, just the quick and fast maneuver guy, I edit my ticket from June 22nd to say August 2nd.
How did you edit that, Fuller?
I use Snapchat. So for all of our fans out there, we just edit our tickets and we made it say that it was today's date when it was actually June 22nd against the Astros. But realistically, we give you tips and tricks.
It's the power of broke.
I mean, this today, power broke. Today especially, we went on a day where it was Red Sox Yankees in a very pivotal game to come out of the dog days of summer. Like, this is like where the playoffs start. Like, this point right here.
Yeah.
And we were able to do it today. So that means that on a random fucking,
and it was fucking packed.
On a random it was packed. On a random fucking Tuesday, you can get standing room and edit this shit with Snapchat.
You don't
need to use Photoshop, which you could use, but you don't need to at
Snapchat does the job.
Snapchat does the job. I mean, clearly it worked today. You just edit the section.
You could literally sit wherever you want.
Or maybe you could probably Google it.
You could probably sit in the dugout.
You had to have gone to a game and have those tickets, but, you know, could probably Google it. And all you do is flash it to them, and they don't give a shit. Like, they just look and see.
We'll keep you posted, but on an off day when they play, like, the fucking whoever's besides the Red Sox, we're going to try and do a Section 100 little scan.
Yeah, we might need to Photoshop a little quick.
We'll see what happens.
Behind home plate, you'll see us back there. We'll watch the game. I don't know.
For sure.
So, to just avoid the rant, because we're new to this.
Haven't even talked yet.
We're new to this, as you could see.
You're allowed to go into.
So, we're going to just, I'm going to give you the quick recap of all the good luck we've had. So, I come here from Connecticut, take a car. I get here. I see my brother, Damon. Damon pulls out a coin that he shouldn't have had. Has 50-cent coin. Good luck. Okay. Yeah, Damon, sure you have good luck. We get to the stadium. We cut the line. We get in. Glaber hits a grand slam. We go to our seats. We decide to go to the bleachers with our edited tickets. They work. We sit there for 3 innings. We leave. I see my friend from home. He says, front row, bleachers, come on. We go. We sit there. 3 innings. Works again. Okay. Yeah. Let's leave because we got booted out. So then we go to our new standing room, and we get to our new standing room, and what happens? Some random lady. Beer. Oh, my God. My ticket comes with a beer. Take the beer. Oh, so you just don't want your beer?
Well, she said it came with her seats. She's like, hey, take this.
She's like, I don't want it because it's Bud Light. I don't want it.
Yeah. All right. So,
she's because it was Bud Light.
And on top of it,
what?
The miserable Chapman.
Like, I don't want it because it's Bud Light.
What does she want?
I don't want it.
All they have is Bud anything.
You're my queen.
All right. So, moral of the story is we had good luck tonight.
Yeah.
Good. Great. Done. So now, let's dive into the fucking New York Yankees.
15 minutes later, but let's fucking do it.
Well, that was a good intro.
We're good to go.
Good first step. All right, so how was this game today? How did it go? Right. I mean, I think this was a big, much needed. We got our asses kicked. I'll be the first to say it. Last series,
it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
It wasn't what we wanted. It's not what you'd like. And that series, coming off the Twins series, absolutely rocking them. It was it. Yeah, it was after the Twins series, right?
Yeah, yeah, not absolutely rocking them.
No. But no, winning. We won the series. Yeah. Our pitching was still bad, but we got through because we had the bats. We got through that. We come off a hot win with that Hicks catch, and then we go into a Red Sox series. Was it? It was another 4-game set.
It was four,
and we get rocked. But you know what? If there was one game to take, I think the one game to take would be the last one because it sets the tone for the going forward. they didn't take the tone because we lost the very next game against the Diamondbacks. Mm-hmm. Who the fuck are they?
Yeah,
they
were borderline sellers,
and then Greinke got sold the day he was pitching against us. So we split that series.
There's a ton of
that was tough. That was tough.
We'll get into the trade deadline, but that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But we get into that, and I think going all of the bad news that we're going to get into first, I think overall today was a good start to something new. We'll turn the page, and I think before this game, I even said, like, we need to win this game. This is a
this is a big one.
This is a must-win, and this is a must-win series. And I think this is not only a must-win series, we need to take three at least. At least, because they took three last series.
At least is aggressive for three.
I think we should take three. I think if we take three, it knocks them out of
Playoff. I was about to say, you agree with that, but Kevin Fuller, do you think that if we win the series, are the Red Sox out of the playoff race?
I think they're done, yeah.
They're done?
Are they 10.5, 11.5 now?
Like, being honest.
If we win, it'd be 11, right?
Well, they go a full game back.
No, they're currently 10.5, right?
Yes. Well, no, I think, are they not 11?
I think they, no, I think actually after tonight, they're 11.5. With this loss tonight,
they move a full game back.
Yeah, they are, yeah. So they're 11.5 back. And they're not doing hot at all. They're not doing cold. They're doing bad. Like, it's frankly bad. So the Red Sox being down as much,
let alone like our games against them.
Yep.
They just lost 9-4.
So we're 11.5 up right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So by the end of the weekend.
And that's one. So if we take three.
More, so you go up two more. You go 12, 13 up. 13
no, yeah,
and
they're
half,
done.
And then
you're
back down.
Done,
so
right?
If we take three out of four, then we're up 12.5.
And then they're done.
All right. So let me ask you a different question.
And then you're 12.5 back and you got like 50 games left. I counted.
That's 13.5.
No, 50 games in
the
season.
No, but if we take two more out of the next three, that's 13.5.
But then they take one. So you go back down. So
listen, we're up 11.5 and we have three games.
So you go up.
To take three would be to take two.
So win the next one.
Uh-huh.
So you're up 11.5, 12.5, you next to the next win.
Mm-hmm. 12.5, you're right. I don't need the math.
All right.
We'll edit this out
because
I can't add.
We'll put that in there.
Let me ask you another question, though.
I got the job.
If anyone else was to win the AL East, are you more worried of the Rays or the Red Sox?
I'm more worried of the Red Sox.
Red Sox.
The Red Sox have proven that they can beat us. They can beat us in colorful fashion. Like, they can kill us.
Yeah,
they have killed us.
Yeah.
They are the team that won last year.
Yeah.
They won it all. They won
everything. Don't think the Rays... I think the
Rays
don't
scare me.
Yeah, I agree.
However, they did just add... Who they add? Jesus Aguilar.
Yeah.
Good power bat.
I mean,
that's a good power bat.
Oh, wow.
Jesus Aguilar.
They put up good numbers, but at the end of the day...
Like, in relatively, they didn't get anything. They got fucking...
Yeah. At the end of the day, they're not gonna perform in the playoffs. At the end of the day, it's just not going to happen.
No.
You know, I think it's just the Rays. I just think...
Because they haven't been there. I feel like that's a big thing.
Like,
they have a lot of people, like, who is on their team that has playoff experience?
They're young. They're a young team.
He's got nothing. He's just
a young team.
I actually couldn't be less scared of the Rays.
Yeah. And we daddy them too. Like our.
It's also like
I'm not going to look up their record against them, but we have a we have a very big lead against them.
Yeah, no, we're winning
1-1.
We're winning.
I'd be more scared of the Mets.
No, the Mets could actually swallow a shotgun.
I don't want
the Mets are not good. You know what the Mets could do, Rella?
They tried to flip.
What am I going to say?
Yeah, they tried.
The Mets could take a deep breath underwater. Because they're not good at baseball.
Imagine taking a deep breath. You're gone.
It would suck. It would suck.
All right, so let's get into...
But let's go into the past couple weeks.
Okay.
So, we are the Yankees. We're scorching.
Yep.
We go into the trade deadline, and we're like, all right, we got this. We go into the All-Star break. We're like, yeah, we got this.
Yep.
We come out of the All-Star break not as hot as we'd like.
Yeah, we struggled.
The injury bug that's been haunting us all season is now creeping up again.
Mm-hmm.
We got Voit out.
He'll be back, though.
He'll be back.
It seems like an oblique, like, same as Judge sort of thing.
I
mean, he was flirting with surgery, so we don't know yet.
Voit?
Yeah, he's flirting with surgery. We don't know for sure
yet.
It's a hernia.
I'm not going to say that
it's a hernia.
Sports hernia. Like, it's sports hernia. It could be...
Sports hernias are either all right or really bad.
It. In terms of winning the World Series
like,
this year, he might want to play through it. He's a tough motherfucker.
So let me ask.
He will play through it if he can.
Okay.
If like that's what I'm saying. If he can possibly play through it at all, he will do it.
Go. Let me ask another question though. Let's say. Let's just throw DJ at first base. Would you rather a unhealthy Voit?
Yeah.
For sure. Would you rather have an unhealthy Voit at first base, or a healthy DJ LeMahieu at first, and we plug in? Maybe we call it Clint.
I was literally
Maybe we call it Clint Frazier.
I mean, Voit, honestly.
Have him DH for a little while.
I love Voit and all.
Encarnacion DH.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, though, when Encarnacion came to the team, he was supposed to be, like, that's why Clint got sent down. He is now taking up that DH spot every single day, and when he gets swapped out, he's playing first, and then Voit's the DH. Like, that's why Clint isn't on the team. But now that Voit's down, that might be a, like, I mean, going off that Clint tweet, like, he's even more happy. He's ecstatic.
Yeah,
when Voit
that
gets
and
hurt.
Unfollowing all the Yankees players and the entire organization
on
Instagram.
Clint for that, but
that did not sit well.
I like Clint at the plate. That guy. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying him at...
We talk about this all the time. We feel confident when he's up at the plate.
When he's at the plate,
I feel confident.
In a game seven...
He has that
if
aura.
If he's out there with runners on, I have that same DJ LeMahieu feeling.
No.
Not to compare the two.
No.
All right. That's a little outlandish.
A little
don't
under.
Lose me.
Don't lose me. A little under.
I have that feeling of confidence with him.
I know you're saying. The confidence level is there.
I trust
Clint. But I'm saying if he comes up.
But DJ's on another fucking level.
I trust
right
Clint.
Now.
With the worst guy you could have possibly compared him to.
Yeah. You could have said anyone else on the roster. All right. And I would have said yes.
Separate note then. I think Clint Frazier. This opens the door for him, does it not?
Kind of, no.
It opens the door for him.
You want to hear why it doesn't?
Here's why. Well, the roster grows also by the playoffs.
No, but you want to hear why it doesn't?
But with Voit leaving, that leaves a DH spot. As well as he's going to be only a DH, so he'll only play when he's a DH.
Hey, Rob, can you just speak a little closer to the mic?
He's only a player when he's a DH.
Big sound guy.
First
That's it, right?
Problems.
Big sound guy.
Right?
He can only
DH. That's the only time he's going to be in the game.
Well, I mean, he can't play the field, so yeah.
Yeah,
he's a liability.
Sure,
he's a liability.
He can't play the field.
Confirmed liability.
Okay, so 100%. He now has an opportunity to DH some games. It's not. I'm not saying he's going to be the everyday DH. I'm saying there is now an opportunity for him to play. And that opportunity for him to play, like that guy who can come in one or two games during the week, I like that we have that guy coming in one or two games a week because he's shown us he can hit.
You want to know something?
Let me tell you. Tell me something.
So, I am personally big Clint Frazier guy.
I am a huge.
You are huge.
You know
Damon,
me. I am the biggest Clint Frazier
Damon doesn't
advocate.
Need to convince anybody about anything about Clint Frazier.
Clint Frazier's my fucking boy.
Yeah. And Murph, who we'll also have on here.
I've had his back for like 3 years now.
So have I. And I think that we stole him.
Yeah.
I'm so happy about the way that we got him.
We got Cleveland.
But
ever since he got drafted, first of all, ever since he got drafted, I was
Thunder.
Like.
He's been following him. I
know.
He told me about him.
Yeah. I was
this
like.
Weird guy with red curly
I was like,
hair.
Yo,
I was like, who
I
is
am
this guy?
So upset that we didn't get him in the draft.
And then we got him.
And then we got him, and I was jumping for joy.
Kinda, you knew him before the draft?
Yeah. I was following him. Like, I've been...
On
Instagram? No, like in college.
He's a big social media.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy. But, like, he knows his audience. Like, I was almost excited for him as I was for Geno Smith with the Jets, but that didn't turn out.
Imagine being a Jets
fan. That turned out as well as I thought.
Yeah.
But the same kind of excitement that
the Jets
I had.
Up.
All right, this isn't a Jets podcast.
I don't need to go into why I like Clint Frazier with you.
Yeah,
you know why I like him.
100%.
But... Just taking a deep dive into this year, we have Aaron Judge. He's our right fielder, obviously. We're not even going to talk about him because we don't need to.
He's our guy.
He's our
guy.
Yes. But, like, the outfield's more than filled because we have Hicks. Hicks is good.
We have everybody.
We have Stanton when he comes back. And I don't want to hear any of that. No, I know, Damon, you're going to say it, but I'm not going to let you say it because you can't tell me that Stanton shouldn't be the guy when he gets back.
You're flat out wrong if you say that. And anybody, and I know this is a popular topic, anybody who says Giancarlo Stanton makes the Yankees worse or not.
I'm not saying
it
makes them worse.
Not just but this is a popular topic. People say we're fine without him. You're wrong. This is a guy who has played 9 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
9 games.
If that.
Okay, and great. Last year, he hasn't played... He played, like, what, like 30% of the games, too?
Great.
So since he's been on the Yankees, he barely played, and that's
amazing.
Bad on, that's
so he's fucking hurt
all
the time.
That's bad on him. And that's bad on him. I'm saying...
It's not on his fucking body.
I get it. And I'm saying... this.
I think it's our trainers.
But no, all the people are saying... It's not the trainers. I don't know why. I hate that people that... I hate
I was
that,
joking.
That guy who
I
says that...
Joking.
No, but not you. That guy who says that, I hate that guy. But the other guy who says we're better off without Sen, you're fucking wrong.
Listen, I'm
this
just,
is a guy who in his most his recent healthy year was an MVP.
All right, we're talking about health now though. Like I'd rather a
we
healthy
clearly don't right, have health
I would rather a healthy Clint Frazier than an unhealthy Giancarlo Stanton.
But let me finish
any day.
But let me finish.
Yeah, cuz he's going to play.
No, but I'd rather an 80% Giancarlo Stanton than I'd rather 100% Clint Frazier than 80% Giancarlo Stanton.
Okay, sure. I'll
That's
listen
a fair
to that.
Point.
I'll listen to that.
Like, I don't
the bat.
Yeah, I don't want an unhealthy. If we're just
talking, I was almost turned off to that.
If we're just saying DHs,
no, I know.
Because listen. Stanton's going to DH, and that's going to be his job.
Yeah, he can play though.
He can. Clint can play too. He's a little of liability, but he can play. Yeah.
Clint
All
was
right.
also never not. He also was good in the field at some point.
Yeah,
like,
and
this,
he makes
been
little,
through a rough
He's
stretch.
Never been good. He's just been not bad.
He makes some
time.
Choice.
Yes, yes.
This is a small like sample size.
Yes.
If we're saying 80% healthy bat of Stan and 100% healthy bat of Clint Frazier, I am taking Clint Frazier on the roster 1,000% of the time.
Yes. Okay. So you're gonna take Clint Frazier 100% over Giancarlo 80. But you know what the crazy thing is? We went into that deep of a debate before I could even finish because that was the third outfielder I named.
Oh,
and mind you.
Are you saying something?
Mind you. Yeah, I was. I was trying to. But mind you, I'm a big Clint Frazier guy. I do like him.
No beer on the table. I don't want this technology to get...
I'll just drink it.
Yeah, there you go.
But...
I just heard you swallow. That was really weird.
We have Judge.
Cut that out.
We have Judge. We have Gardner, who I don't even like anymore.
What are you
anymore.
Even saying about? Like, why do you say
hey,
Gardner
listen,
second?
Listen,
no, I'm sorry.
Too?
I will name.
Start in terms of who's best.
Okay, so in order, I'm going to give a pause so we can edit this
power
out.
Rankings of the outfield.
We're not editing anything out, just letting you know.
No, we're not.
Judge, Hicks, Stanton, Gardner.
Maben.
Yeah. Talkman. Frazier.
Talkman over Clint.
Get the fuck out of here.
Listen, I'm not a big Sockman.
I'm going to be honest, I disagree. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Talkman, I mean, yeah, he's hot right now. Do you truly believe that that is
no.
going to
That he's better than Clint Frazier? Not even in the slightest.
Let's look over a 3-year period. Who's going to do it longer? You really think Talkman's going to bat 286, whatever the fuck he's batting right now?
Not even a little bit.
The majority
no.
of his time? Yeah, he can field. That's fine. He has a good arm. And he's doing everything right. And I'm not taking anything away from Talkman. But over the 3-year period, you're going to put him over. Like, I get why they chose. And Clinton doesn't get this. This is why he's all fucking pissy over social media. He doesn't understand why he was not chosen. It's because of strictly field, because there's no. There's an outfield spot open. There's not a batter spot open. There's an outfield spot open. And the we needed an extra fielder. And that's why we had Talkman up. And now he's performing at the plate.
I'll dive into it. I'll dive into it. So. My personal opinion, Clint Frazier compared to Mike Talkman is like not even a good conversation because Clint Frazier is so much better. But when you're going from the standpoint of a GM or a manager, when you're trying to win a division and Talkman is as hot as he is and Clint Frazier is this much of a liability in the locker room, like, yeah, he's not that good of a fielder, but like I don't listen to that. Clint Frazier had a bad stretch in the field. He's still a good fielder. Like he's
not
a fucking
a phenomenal.
He's a
hitter.
Major league baseball
he's
player.
An
he could field.
He's an athlete.
He
that's,
is
that's
an
about
and
him.
He's a fucking.
He's just
great
nervous.
Fielder.
Once you get over the nerves, he's young. He's an athlete. Bottom line,
I don't even think it's nerves. I think it's honestly like
he's in his head.
I think it's like 40% coincidence that he just made all these
I don't
errors
know about
in a row.
I
no,
just know,
like I literally
he's
do.
He's way in his head. I think that's it.
If you put Clint Frazier out in the outfield and you tell me he has to field a ball 10 times in a row or else I die, I would literally be like, all right.
But listen. I think...
What, is he going to beat me up?
Yeah.
Is he going to kill me?
I don't know. The guy's fucking ripped.
Who?
Clint Frazier.
No, I meant like if I chose him.
Have you seen him work out?
No, he's big. He's
dude,
big.
That
I've
guy
seen
is.
Void workout.
All right, we're not comparing. That's apples to oranges.
I guess.
Void is a fucking huge human being.
Speaking of which, Barletta thinks he's fat.
All right, we're not talking about Barletta right now.
Strictly not true. It's just not
no
true.
No one knows who Barletta is.
Well, you're learning about Barletta. Barletta is a big Red Sox fan, just as big as we are to the Yankees. And he will be on the podcast, hopefully, after a sweep. Continue.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think the relationship between the Yankees and Clint Frazier is important enough to sustain?
I need to hear clarification on what
do you think
you just meant.
Do you think it is more important to set aside differences and sustain a relationship for the future? Because he's only 24 years old. Mm-hmm. Mike Tauchman's 28.
Is it?
And yeah.
Tauchman's
been on the Rockies.
And listen,
if I could put a number on how old Mike Tauchman is, I would say normal.
And listen,
I would never have put it.
Tauchman, I would say normal. Mike Tauchman, his first home run in his career, like 2 months ago.
As a Yankee?
No, as an MLB player.
Yeah, it was on the Yankees.
His
first time he's ever been up.
Yes. So
he played at Coors Field. Like,
and now, yes.
That's why I say he should not be in the same conversation as you put him over Clint.
No, I said realistically.
Go back to the tape.
Yeah, please do, because I said if we're talking realistically baseball-wise, no, Clint is so much better. But if I'm talking from a GM or manager standpoint, I'm going to take Tauchman because he doesn't cause problems in the locker room like Clint does.
Listen, if we're winning a World Series, fuck the locker room.
I don't care.
I don't give a fuck if they get along.
You know what? The king. You know who sits next to Clint in the locker room? And
fuck
the reason why Clint, during that debacle that went down, why he freaked out, is because Judge was away on injury and he wasn't with the team.
Yeah.
Judge has the locker next to him and he was keeping him in check because Judge is the next captain of the Yankees, I'm sorry to say.
And he's 6 foot eight.
Why would you be sorry?
He's going to be the next captain of the Yankees. He's really good.
And
he keeps people in check, and he holds that locker room down to a T. And people, the reporters have said that. I don't give a fuck whatever the reporters say, but I believe it. He needed somebody to keep him in check, and he just ran wild. He's like, and he decided to not go talk to, whatever, fuck him. I like his bat.
Clint?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. We all do.
So let's talk trade deadline. We've been ranting about Clint and Tauchman for a while.
Well, that kind of relates to the trade deadline. Because
Clint was supposed to be traded.
He was a hot
he's
topic.
Still here.
He was a hot topic.
He's still here, and he made sure we knew it with the Woody.
Oh, I
the
love
Woody,
that.
The
I
Woody
was
gift.
A huge fan
you
of that.
Were you
going to
post that?
That was hilarious.
I love
that. Did you post that?
No, but I fucking love more. That.
But, I mean, here. If we're going to dive into the whole trade deadline.
We
got
to dive into the trade
deadline. We have to. All right,
so look. Same thing goes for the trade deadline. And for what you were just talking about the whole, not getting rid of Clint because he's only 24.
Yeah.
You mark my words.
Yeah.
Lucas Rella and Damon Romeo. Listen to me. Clint Frazier is gone. He's done. He's not going to be up. He will never wear pinstripes again. That's my hot take.
As of when?
As of right fucking
when,
now.
When is he getting dealt?
At the end of the
season.
Nobody
can be dealt this year.
At the end of the season, he's gone.
On the chase for 28, nobody's dealt. This is our roster.
Yeah,
I 1,000% disagree with you, and
I disagree.
I will take that bet.
But I
disagree.
Go.
You know why?
I will go. I'll bet you $1,000 because Clint Frazier.
You don't have
$1,000. Great fucking talent. Great talent. Good. I love Clint.
Who do you want for him?
I don't know. But you know what I do know? Is that he's going to go. He's going to go.
I don't agree.
No, he's gone.
The fact is, though, he has a lot of value from what he's produced.
Exactly,
on
and that's
field.
Why he's gone.
MLB ready is this big topic with prospects,
and that's
he's
why he's
shown
gone.
That he could bat 285 and have however many home runs.
And that's why he's gone.
The fielding, I mean, if we see that he can field and he's had a rough stretch, the fucking scouts see it. He can field too. That's not an issue.
But listen,
the off the field things might be an issue.
No, it's not.
The bat,
no, it's not.
It's not an issue.
The bat is proven. He's not Trevor Bauer or Yasiel Puig. Like the bat's there. There's no doubt about that.
He's gone.
And there's a reason people have been in every
he's
trade
so
that I heard about, the rumors that didn't happen, obviously, which we'll get into. Every trade I heard about, his name was mentioned along
he's
with Devi Garcia.
Gone.
Everybody wants him.
Devi won't go. But Clint
I mean
Frazier,
clearly. Let's get into that. Where we've been talked about him for too long. So let's get into the trade deadline.
Devi?
Listen, before we go deep into it, I just want to say one thing about my man, Brian Cashman.
He's a dark knight.
Right, Brian
He's
Cashman
the hero that we don't deserve.
Brian Cashman's a dark knight. He's the hero we deserve, but the hero we need.
We need him.
He's our watchful protector.
Yeah.
And we got to let him do his thing. Even if people hate him, I think he's our guy.
If anybody hates him,
he's always been our guy.
You're crazy. I've seen
and
a lot of
these
Yankee
fans,
too.
If you hate him, then get the fuck out of here, now Yankees fan, because the amount that he's done for this organization is incredible, and no one really realizes that.
Do you see the old pictures?
And I trust
him. Wait, do you see the old pictures of him when he just came to the Yankees, and he's got a full head of hair, and he looks like such a loser?
Well, he's young, stud,
just a fucking job.
You I'm not saying his aging went poor. I am saying that.
Have you
that.
Seen Barack Obama the first year in office
right,
and last year?
Well, let's get back on
He's like
track.
35 years in age.
All right, regardless. So the trade deadline. We wanted to make a move. We all wanted a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
We needed a starting pitcher. So we thought. But I think, you know what? And we'll get into this after. But my morale on the topic is, yes, I was upset as the next guy. I was just as upset as the next guy. I wanted a pitcher so fucking badly. Mm-hmm. We needed one. Mm-hmm. So it seemed, and maybe we don't, maybe we do. Cashman knows all. We probably did need a pitcher. But overall, I think this team on paper, the starting pitchers we do have right now, I think they have the potential. Like, we hit the trade deadline at a very poor time.
Yeah.
Like, we were in a very bad stretch. The worst stretch maybe in Yankees history of starting pitching.
No.
It was kind of high. It was like
not that.
It was an average ERA of 13-something for
not
the starters.
That. It was
bad whatever
stretch.
The fuck it may be.
Yeah.
We were in a bad stretch.
Yes. Very bad.
Very bad stretch. And I think the timing of it, the last 2 weeks, that were the worst 2 weeks of our starting pitching, and we got into that right before the deadline, we looked desperate. And if we're
desperate,
people will try and take advantage of that. And
exactly
Cashman is not somebody that wants to be taken advantage of.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that's
like,
why a deal didn't get made. That's it.
You come in all season and you're the Yankees and you're, oh, we're the best team in the league. Like, we weren't even worried. We started slow. And then once we caught fire and we went on that home run streak, everybody was like, all right, so this is the year. This is 28 year. We're fucking savages in the box. Yeah. Fuck everybody else. And we were good.
Buy
we
the
were
t-shirt.
Great. But then,
T-shirt in the
all of a sudden, we go to that Indian series, and like, yeah, we win the series, but our pitching looked bad. And then we go to the Red Sox, and our fucking pitching looks terrible. So, like, we looked real bad.
Yeah, that
and,
was
like,
where,
things
that was
were going south.
Bad.
But then everybody took from the Red Sox series, oh, my God, yeah, like, our pitching looked bad. But thanks, Red Sox, you just showed us a weakness. We need to add pitching or we're fucked. And then we don't add pitching, and everybody's like, oh, my God, we didn't add pitching, and we're fucked. And the only thing that really upset me about the trade deadline is that the fucking Astros got Greinke. Which
is
like, Greinke could
true.
Also not be that good, though. Like, Greinke's really good.
That very day, we beat him.
Yeah, exactly. He's a proven arm, and he's a veteran arm, and that's why I wanted
Would have
Mad
been a great
bump.
Arm to get.
Yeah, but, like, teams are
is
literally,
he unbeatable?
As you said, Rella, teams are trying to fuck us over and saying, like,
yeah,
oh, my God.
That.
You guys are bad in pitching, so we're going to take Devi. We're going to take Clint. But, like, Cashman's way smarter than that.
He stood his ground. He stood his ground.
He's way smarter
than
that.
We are the Yankees. He is Brian Cashman.
And I was upset. But, like, in the long run, he did a good job.
Yeah.
Because we were just that team that had the win-now mindset. We don't need anybody. So just because we have a bad 2 weeks doesn't mean that we're going to be like, fuck, we're not win-now. We need everybody. No, we're still the same fucking team. So let's fucking win with that team.
And if I'm Brian Cashman, I'm not.
I think that brings up what you said before, though, because like when we were in the stadium, you were like, you know, like, yeah, we had the last 2 weeks of the trade deadline. We're like, we're awful. Like we got our shit kicked in.
Yeah,
yeah but, I'll be the first to admit it too. We got our doors blown off.
But what you said before, you were like, but before that, we were power.
We were
ranked
the winner.
Number one.
We were
number one. We were number one in the league.
Power rank.
So why are we so...
Why are we bitching?
Why are we the ones who need to make a move?
You want
to
know why?
The Mets needed to make a move. They made a move. They great.
No,
they're
Mets
still bad.
The Mets needed to do nothing.
They didn't do nothing.
Mets
I don't know why they did
that.
The
Mets
and the Reds are in their own conversation.
The Mets and the Reds, too.
The Reds, I don't know why. They got Trevor Bauer. I wanted Trevor Bauer.
That's what hurt. Yeah, I will say. Going right
off your point. That was the first piece to fall.
I wanted Bauer more than I wanted to breathe.
And I didn't care about his
no,
off the field.
No, I
shit.
Love that.
I didn't care
he
about
threw
him.
A ball.
I didn't care about
so
him throwing.
Far.
Dude, I was kind of impressed
Dude,
by
he
that.
He launched it. He literally.
I mean, that was almost like it. If you want a pitcher, you want that fire. That's like that. That's like that. What is it? No, that's
let the kids play.
Not even let the kids play. That's like a Scherzer kind of fire. Like
no, not even.
I want
that's
that
an
guy.
Unmatched
that's
fire.
An emotional.
That's a dickhead.
That's an emotional
fire.
Guy. I want him. I want. And I don't like that. And I don't know.
I do. I do.
That's, I like the fire. That's all I like out of it. And I like about, and I like what he would bring to the Bronx. And I don't care what he is off the field or how fucking weird he is. I would have liked Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
And but that goes back to our topic. I think we would have had to give too much up.
Agreed.
And give up our future, which is what we've built. This is how this team was built. This team was built off of selling off that Aroldis Chapman rental that got us Glaber and Chapman back, like all that shit.
But
we built this team off of that, and we have good prospects coming up, and I don't want to give them up.
But
just for Trevor Bauer, or the main suitor was Robbie Ray. Like, do we want Robbie Ray?
Fuck that
Robbie
guy.
I was literally looking at. Oh, I was actually looking at Baseball Reference, trying to figure out if I like Robbie Ray, and it was that GIF of Jim from The Office, and I was like looking at the computer and just shaking my head. I was trying to convince myself. I sent it to Fuller. I was like, I was trying to convince myself that Robbie Ray is the guy,
because
we
queen.
Were probably gonna get Robbie Ray. It was the only one we were in talks with.
He's not my queen.
And he was the only guy, and I was trying to convince myself that he's the guy I want. Terrible. Nothing stood out to me.
You know what I like about Bauer, though? Is that, like...
Tell me about Bauer.
Everyone, you know, like... here's the thing. People compare people to people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, he's the Michael Jordan of whatever, you know? He's the new Babe Ruth. Like, it's like... I'm saying hypothetically, like, this is what people compare it to. It's like that guy from the New York Yankees, the guy signed 16. They're like, he's like Mike Trout and Jesus.
Jason Dominguez?
Yeah, it's like...
The Martian?
Comparing people. On a craziness level, though, it's like...
Unmatched.
Bauer is a... They compare people... Fucking nuts. They compare people to
intense,
Bauer.
Unmatched, what was it?
Energy unmatched.
Energy was unmatched.
Like, you compare people to Bauer. It's like, oh, he's like the Bauer of craziness.
Is it to that point now?
Dude, he's fucking nuts.
He is nuts. He threw a ball. He's fucking crazy. Throwing a ball from...
This is not the first time he's had this like an
outburst.
I don't want to call it an outburst, but like a
temper tantrum.
Like a scene.
You want me to sum it up for you?
Sure, Fuller.
Tell Bauer me is a cocksucker.
Oof.
He's a fucking piece of shit. And I love it.
I love it.
No. Like, he's literally the biggest bitch in MLB.
He's good,
but,
though.
But, like, in such a cool way. Because, like, he throws dumb hard.
He does. Does he?
How hard
and, like,
he
could strike mad people out.
I do.
And, like, he cares so much
when
it comes to playoff time that I would have loved to have that fucking cocksucker motherfucker on my team.
That's a tough word to describe,
Is it just me, though?
He's a cocksucker.
Does every single deal that we were seeing happen for all these starting pitchers, because it seems like the only market was the starting pitching market. Like, all these random guys were getting signed
for
bats. The starting pitching market was the main market. Is it just me, or do I see that all these deals that were made were for much lesser guys? Maybe it's me not knowing the prospects of other teams, but all of our talks were about Devi Garcia, Clint Frazier, Esteban Florio, all those guys. Is it just me, or does every other team... Like the Mets, like they gave up nothing for Marcus Stroman.
But listen,
and then they were trying to flip him for
our
prospects.
You know our farm. You don't know.
I get that.
Here's the thing.
But I was even listening.
The Astros gave up like 3, 5, and 7 for Greinke, which was like to us.
But not Kyle Tucker and all the top prospects. They didn't go all in because they didn't give up Kyle Tucker, who's their main guy, and another. They have a pitcher I think that's one of their top guys. But my point is, I feel like. I mean, maybe that's just my Yankees bias. I feel like all the names are household names to me.
Yeah,
that's probably
you
just my
do
Yankees
also
bias.
Have to understand that, like, yeah, one like you said,
but we also all have
names.
To pay the price tag because we're being they were trying to take advantage of us.
But
that's what
like,
I'm talking about.
When teams see how bad we were doing before the deadline, and then teams see like, oh, they need to buy.
Yeah, the timing was bad,
and they're the New York Yankees teams like. I've never bought into this, but I now realize that it's complete facts. Teams don't like the Yankees. Like, the Yankees
everybody,
are not their friends.
Everybody but us yeah. hates the Yankees.
Let me
bring there's a lot of us. There's a big Yankees fan base.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm saying other teams don't want to deal with the Yankees. Us.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want to trade with us? The Mets, for some godforsaken
reason. Nobody wants to.
No, but I don't even get that. The Mets don't want to trade with us like because of the rivalry. What rivalry?
Our little brothers.
The yeah, Subway Series? Like,
it's
what?
Just because we're in the same area. It's like Jets-Giants.
But like they're like, oh, we don't want to trade with you guys. Like, whatever. I get the in-division stuff. Like, Stroman, they didn't want to trade to us. They gave it to the Mets for cheaper.
They didn't
want to
give us Bauer.
They didn't
want to
give
it.
They
Indians.
Don't.
The Indians don't want to give us
Indians
Bauer.
Are different. That's also the AL, too. So it's an AL
exactly,
playoff team. That's why.
Like, yeah.
Because it's an AL playoff team, and they don't want to give it to another playoff team. That's smart on them, and I'll respect your
How
decision.
How smart is it, though? Because they could have got more from us than they.
I agree.
Mean, they did get a good
I
deal.
Agree, but this year you're giving a team Bauer that will also stay for a little while. So, like, you're going to hear Bauer for a little while, and you get that fire. It's almost as if we were to trade Clint to, like, the Red Sox, and Clint would fucking kill us because he's an emotional player, and he would turn it on. I told this to you the other day when we were coming off the train. I was like, I feel like if we pull Clint up off and have him DH, I think Clint would care less about the playoffs and more about, like, fuck you guys. I'm going to hit home runs because you sent me down. Like,
no,
he'll almost care less about the like a big prospect thing is like, will they do well in the postseason? I think Clint won't give a shit. I think Clint's going to be like so personal. Like, he's going to be like, I don't give a shit about any of you guys. I'm going to hit home runs because you guys sent me down. And he won't even I feel like he won't even realize where the fuck he is. He doesn't even know he's on the October stage.
He needs to drive up to New York City regardless of if he gets called up. He needs to go there.
Yeah.
He needs to
just show up.
Show up.
Just
What's
say,
up?
I write himself,
Sup, motherfucker?
Write himself
I'm here.
Into the lineup, bring his own marker, and put himself in.
Yeah,
I agree.
But you know what? Do you agree that he?
No, I do. I think he would put himself before the team.
The stage doesn't matter to him.
I think he would put himself before the team, which is like not the worst
not
thing when
thing.
It comes to Clint Frazier.
No, it's not a good thing. But for the
no,
playoff,
no, but
for
I'm
that
saying,
situation
like,
to be good
in terms of Clint Frazier, like that's not the worst thing.
Yeah,
yeah. But
it's also like, listen, it's like. We go back and talk about, you know, minor league players and prospects getting dealt in the trade deadline. But it's like teams that want to win. It's like, yeah, you know the percent of like
prospects that pan out
that like are successful.
Okay, yeah, I literally was
has
listening.
To be under 10.
No, I was listening to there's a statistic pull. I need somebody needs to pull it up. But there's a like over the last SoMod. Deadlines. There's been 460 prospects dealt. I was watching the live stream of MLB Network. 460 some odd prospects have been dealt. Like the prospects that are being dealt for these big time players, and around 60 of them have panned out to be even starters, let alone impact players.
Yeah, and of that,
and that is a win now thing.
Of
like
the
if,
first,
if it's that low risk, like these guys aren't going to pan out.
The people drafted in the first two rounds. Only like 55% of them make it to the actual major leagues. And then of that 55%, they have to actually be like good players.
To actually stay.
That's what I'm saying. So you
it's
know,
like what are
those
fucking odds?
With these guys that you're trading for, you know what you're getting. Like you know what you're getting at. I get it. I get it. Stroman is inconsistent. Like we don't know what we're getting. He's been a great year this year.
But he's good now.
He's good right now. He could win. The overall goal of any single year at all is to win the World Series. And if we have an opportunity to win the World Series right now, I don't care. Like, I get it. Devy Garcia might be good. He might be good. There have been plenty of prospects
like
him
in like 4 years.
Don't pan out. He might be good somewhat. Like, now they're forcing him to say, like, oh, we want to see Devy Garcia this year. Probably not. He's 20 years old.
No, I don't want him in this year.
No. Why are you going to bring up a fucking guy in fucking August?
He's not MLB ready, as they say.
I agree, because that's what we did with Justice last year.
I mean, it's just a Sheffield.
Yeah, and he's fucking gone.
Good. That's the Yankee, like, stigma. Like, we trade all these guys, and they're like, oh, we hype them up so much, and then all of a sudden they go. That's the thing about trading.
We
that's
hype
a whole,
up
that,
minor
no,
league
not
fucking
even,
players.
And it might, that goes
we
back
do,
to our
but
point.
That's just
it's not
like,
just
when we hype them up that much, that's what makes them seem that, like, they're that much more valuable to other teams, which I do like that we do, but really not.
We can do that.
They actually believe it when it's
but
us.
But that might be another thing. To our point, like, we know these guys, so we think they're better than they are. And
we do, because we're told they're so good.
Yeah. There's a propaganda going on with them. I don't know. I think I think these.
You think what?
I don't know. I just think that there's a whole stigma about, around the MLB. Actually, until that deal with Greinke went down,
that sucked.
Until the deal with Greinke went down, all the MLB was even saying like, there's a whole stigma around the league that, like, there's not as much emphasis placed on winning the World Series this year. Like some teams, like, I mean, loopholes, like the Mets and the Reds, like, but I love that.
They were smart.
I get why everyone's like, why are they making those moves? But at the end of the day, they're 4-some-odd games out of the wild card. Like, if you have a shot to make the wild card, I love that energy. I love that you're trying to win it right now. Like, why not get a Stroman? Well, they have a fucking unbelievable rotation if you look at it. I get that the Mets and their lineup may not be that good. They got some good bats, too. Like, they could do, if they get in there, they might be able to win a series. I don't know. Maybe a wild card at least.
No.
They could win a wild card.
Who?
They got Jeff McNeil. They got a few other guys. Fuck
yeah,
the Mets,
anybody regardless. Can win a wild card. It's a game.
That's what I'm saying. That's my point. To get into the playoffs, that's because our friend Matt likes to say that the playoffs, the wild card is not the playoffs. The wild card is it's the postseason.
And I agree.
Because you're postseason.
I agree.
So the playoffs is when a series starts, which I agree with also, and
which
I've started
playoffs,
to agree with.
Yes.
But my point is, the whole league, there was a stigma around, like, and I think it's still there. And I think with the Greinke deal didn't change because they were going to win, they were in the running to win the World Series, so they obviously want to make a move. I think that these teams, like, well, the Yankees wanted to make a move, they couldn't because of what we already talked about, but other teams that are on the bubble, like the A's, like other teams that are in that race, like the Texas Rangers, like they're outside just as close, like a little closer than the Mets, they're in that race. The Indians, why aren't you making, oh, they actually did make, not the Indians, but teams like that on the bubble, I don't know, I'm not looking at the standings right now. There's nobody being aggressive like that. Like, why? If you have an opportunity, why why are the Indians sellers? Why did they sell Trevor Bauer? Because they're planning for the future and they don't think, oh, like, we could make the wild card, but at the same time, are we good enough to win the World Series? Like, if you have a shot to make the fucking playoffs, make the fucking playoffs and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, once you make the playoffs, anybody can fucking win.
Yeah,
I get the planning for the future thing, but, like, if you have a chance to get in the dance.
I do agree, but, like, there are also teams that are just going to be better than you when you get there. Like, you can make the playoffs, but if you're the Indians and then you're still playing against the Red Sox, you're still playing against the Astros, you're still playing against Twins, who are better than them.
Yeah, but make that move to make it more of an even playing field.
Yeah, but if you could set the tone for the next couple of years and you get three top prospects that are coming up sooner than later, why not for Bauer?
Yeah,
because don't like Bauer.
I get it. No, and that was an emotional thing. He just recently pissed them off. He's like, all right, we're done with this bullshit.
I think that, you know, in August, we're not preparing for the future in August. We're preparing for October. You know, we're not preparing for the next couple of years. We're preparing for the Winners World Series. So, with that being said, we have our team. We have our lineup. We have the players that we got right now. What does that starting lineup look like in October?
Well, first things first, we got to get people healthy. And I think that was what Cashman was looking at. I think that's a good sign. And I think the reason we didn't make a move, and if we were not going to make a move, if we were going to make a move, it was going to be because we needed it. And the fact that he didn't, he would have overpaid if we really, really needed it. If we really needed an extra player, he would have overpaid because he knows it needed to happen. The fact that he didn't make a move, maybe it's a pairing with overpaying and everybody thinking we're desperate. But I think it's also a little bit of a fact that these guys might be healthier than we think. Like, we have a lot of guys on the IL that could come back. We just beat the Red Sox tonight, a playoff team.
I'll be back.
We just beat the Red Sox tonight, a playoff team. Without who's on the list
they're
right now?
Listen.
We're talking about these guys. This team is. We thought we were over the injury bug, and we are right now. We don't even realize we're back on that same bullshit.
Quick question before we get into anything else, though. Does anyone have an inside scoop on Montgomery?
Fuck Montgomery. August. Nobody knows about
middle
him.
Middle of August.
You think so?
August.
What do we...
What kind of usefulness... What is he going to do for us?
When's the last time you've seen Jordan
Absolutely
Montgomery?
Not.
My guy hasn't pitched in fucking forever.
All right, but when he did pitch...
He was good. He was great.
He wasn't great.
He wasn't great.
And he wasn't that good.
He got the job done, though. He was a solid pitcher.
He did it.
Solid pitcher.
Whatever it is, Jordan Montgomery did that.
Somebody we need to look for.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Jordan Montgomery could
do... When's he on pace to come back? Look it up.
He's on pace to come back for
yeah,
the
end of August. I think it was in August or something.
I searched it yesterday.
Like, ready to what?
Ready to throw.
If you want to know what anybody's date is, I'll tell you right now. You want to know anybody's date?
You cannot start that guy.
No, he's not going to start. But tell me, ask me whose date is what. I'll tell you right now.
Not Patances.
Patances, end of August.
Severino.
Early September.
Sanchez.
Mid-August.
Actually?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Sooner rather than later. Because I read an injury report yesterday.
Okay. Who? Stanton.
August 15th.
Irrelevant.
Earliest.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant.
Regardless. No, this is relevant.
DJ LeMahieu. August 2nd. Brett Gardner.
Today.
August 2nd. Today.
So, my point is, though, what I was saying before, we have so many players that are out, and we're still this AAA team that everyone...
We're not a AAA team.
But we're not. We're not. I don't know, but like we're back to our on our bullshit before that we're still winning games. We tore up the month of March.
Yeah.
But now we're winning
games like this. We actually made March our bitch.
March was our bitch, and we did. And the highlights, the best players were like Talkman, who's still performing.
No.
All right, fuck up. But I'm just saying... These guys now.
I'm going to let you know, Rella.
We're still missing.
Rella, we're early.
We're one of the top teams in the league, and we're still missing all those names that we just mentioned.
We're on Epi 1. All right,
let's get back on track.
We're on Epi 1, and I'm going to let you know, whenever you try to pull that bullshit again, I'm going to be right here, and I'm going to fucking call you out on it. Talkman was one of our best. Shut the fuck up. Talkman's hot stretch came
2 weeks
in the month of fucking July.
It's not a month.
We had players like Talkman before his hot stretch.
No. You don't want to know who our hot streak was in March?
Gio.
Because he doesn't stop for some
reason. He's never been below 300.
Clint Frazier. Adi.
Adi's never.
Paxton figured it out for a short time, then he
Paxton
got hurt.
Paxton, that's what gives me... That's what gives me hope about this rotation.
So why the fuck don't we dive into the pitching staff?
So with the pitching staff... I'm saying I have faith in this rotation, and that's why we didn't – another reason why we don't need to make a move is that these pitchers, they got the stuff. Like, they're just really cold right now. Like, guys like Tanaka, we know Tanaka can pitch in the postseason. He's been dominant in the postseason. We know James Paxton at times can show flashes of his old stuff.
What do you mean old stuff?
James Paxton, in the beginning of this year – I remember this game like no other. Like, he has shows flashes. I forget who they were playing, but he was dominant. He almost threw a record-breaking amount of strikeouts. Like, he was a bully.
He did great.
He was a bully on that mound. He did great. But regardless, I'm saying, and tonight,
great.
After, like I said, runs in the first is a lock with Paxton on the mound, let alone us at the plate, too. Mm-hmm. So, Paxton gives up a home run in the first for the fifth game, I think it is, in a row, and I'm pretty sure that's an MLB record.
No.
For starters, it's up there.
But it's bad.
Five first-inning home runs.
He's bad.
That's crazy. But what he does after that, today was an exaggeration of what I'm going to say right now. He was above and beyond today. Once he gave up that home run today, he was lights out. He gave up maybe, I think, no hits after that, maybe if not one.
No,
I know he had two
like
going.
He gave up like four.
We weren't there for the first inning, so I don't remember.
No, I thought you said after.
After that home run,
four.
I think he may
think
not have
five.
Given up another hit, if not
no,
one.
No, he has. It's been about, it was four or five.
He had two hits.
No, they got hits.
Okay, well that
regardless, he pitched fucking great.
But that's his general, trend.
Yes.
He gives up, he has these early
bad
game hitters, and I don't know what the fuck happens with him after that, but he just turns it on as he gets pissed off that he got a home run given up off him, which happens every single game, and then he just settles down.
Mm-hmm.
Today was... Very much he settled down. Like, he's really settled down. He was lights out after that. But that gives me the idea that like, this pitching staff isn't as bad as everyone thinks it is. We did not need to make that move.
All right, so listen. So, going back to the original thought, though. Kevin Fuller. what is the starting lineup going forward in the playoffs?
Do you want to hear my top lineup?
I want to hear your top lineup in the playoffs.
So my 1 through 9, best lineup.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Batting first. Playing DH. My DH bats first, and he is DJ LeMahieu.
DH.
Just let me finish.
All right, yeah, go for it.
My batting second, playing right field, Aaron Judge.
Obviously.
My batting third, catching, Gary
okay.
Sanchez.
Cool.
Batting fourth, playing left, Giancarlo Stanton.
Okay.
Batting fifth, playing first, Luke Voit.
Okay.
Batting sixth, playing short, Didi Gregorius.
Gotcha.
Batting seventh, playing third, Gio Urshela.
So who are you leaving off?
I made a mistake there. Hold on.
So who are you leaving off?
I made a mistake. I realized, and I didn't mean this. Batting eighth, playing second, Gleyber Torres.
Gotcha.
Batting ninth, playing center, Aaron Hicks.
Batting ninth?
Which was my mistake. Wow. But I would actually
go,
to make you put me on the spot.
Off,
yeah. No,
offhand
I was
like
just,
that.
Yeah, I was just trying
that,
to see.
That is
yeah.
my starting field.
So, no,
field,
so the point is, though, what are you leaving off? That's the main
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
the point
field.
The point is the
you
players.
Can make a lineup however which way you want,
yeah,
where they're playing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but I still
the
stand
starting
by
nine
is
starting nine.
Who are you leaving off?
There.
That's the main thing here.
I left off Gardner.
Agreed.
Okay, of course.
Agreed.
He'll be the fourth off the bench.
I left
agreed.
Off.
I honestly want Mabin off fourth
wow.
off the bench.
I left off Edwin.
Who did you DH?
DJ.
Who did you play first?
Luke Voit.
This is assuming all healthy. I mean,
yeah, that's
you're not gonna not play DJ, but I feel like you can't leave it. Know. You can't put out. You can't not to put Edwin in. I think Gio might be the odd man out then. I think DJ might play third.
This year, I think the odd man out would actually.
I agree.
Voit.
Gio has never made a mistake.
I think the odd man out would be Voit.
I think so too.
I might agree.
Then I
I'm
think you
agree
put
that.
DJ
I think
first
so too.
And you DH
I don't
Edwin.
Fuck with the way Voit does that stupid move his hips outside like SpongeBob type shit when there's a ball that's down the dick.
The ball.
I've told Damon so many times.
I agree.
That bothers the fuck out of me. It's down
yeah.
the dick. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, why are you moving your hips like you're playing hula hoop?
Like, he had...
Honestly, going into the playoffs, that's it.
Yeah, he had...
Voit,
I agree.
Voit, and Voit, I get it. He's been great. Like, every time I look at he's like... His batting average is always around 275.
I love him.
But I don't know where those hits are coming.
I
don't
do
see them.
Him.
I don't
you
see the
know
hits.
Why I love him?
And that goes with Judge, too. Like, to be honest, whenever
stop.
I look at the stadium...
Stop.
We can't talk shit about Judge.
I'm not
going to
talk shit about Judge, but I just feel like his batting average is rising every single day.
Yeah, but
and I don't see the hits.
He's our generational player.
He needs,
saying,
a home, he, needs
saying,
a, he needs a goddamn home run.
What are you saying?
I was going to say, the thing about Voit, like, I do agree that, like, I said it going into this year, and this is where I will easily admit that I was wrong. I said going into
Greg
this
Bird.
Year. No, well, I obviously said Greg Bird. Hey, all you podcast listeners. This is one thing I will not stray away from. I'm a big Greg Bird fan, and he's not good at baseball, but I still love him.
He thought he would be.
But either way, I was
biggest
his,
Greg Bird
I was
fan
at his game
world.
Where
don't
he hit two
that,
home runs. I was big Greg
don't let
Bird.
That, don't let him understate that.
Regardless, Luke Voit, at the beginning of the season, I said he played out of his mind last year. He's not going to do this again. He's not even going to be close to as good. And he was good. He was really good. But what I've always said is that he's playing out of his mind and that he's easily replaceable. He takes too many strikes. He's just been on a hot streak and he's not going to keep it up. And, like, honestly, I said to myself, Kev, you were wrong. Halfway through this year, like halfway through the first half, I said, Kev, you were wrong. Like, Luke Voit's the man. But now he's starting to come back to life, but I feel like it's too late for me to be like, I told you so. Because he did so good the first half that I can't be like, yeah, I knew this was coming. Because I didn't. Because he did so good the first half that I was convinced.
You know what, though? Like, ever since we got him from St. Louis, I get it. He's been really good since we have gotten him. He's been unbelievable since we got him. But he still has that feel. He's never sold me. He still has – he's never had his – his earnest pinstripes moment. Like, moment.
Yeah, he did.
I don't think he did. He literally does not give me that feeling of confidence I was talking about with Clint Frazier. Like, Clint Frazier gives me a feeling of confidence. Luke Voit, I feel like he's going to look at strike three. Is that not me? I feel
it
like
is
that's
you,
why I that's why I would think he's the odd man out.
It's also because he's been on a cold streak, and he's been on a streak where he's taken a lot of strikes. But like before,
it's paired with the stigma of him being that St. Louis bag of bones.
But before that, like, he's definitely earned his pinstripes. When he hit that fucking triple off the wall in the wild card game,
Barletta even said, because they didn't realize that he pimps everything. So, like, the fact that he pimped that's just the way he goes after he hits something. Mm-hmm. He just pops out.
Yeah.
Barletta was like, he's like, yo, the fact that he pimped that is crazy. And I was like, that's just how he does it.
All right. Well, we've been talking a lot about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now we just dive into tonight's game.
All right, let's do it.
Tonight's game. I mean, we haven't gone to tonight's game. That's crazy.
We haven't even gotten to tonight's game, which is crazy.
There was a lot to talk about.
This is our first go at this, so, like, yeah, we're rusty. I burped. I did it.
You know what, I will not let you feel alone.
I don't want it.
I don't know how to burp. It's a fact.
There we go.
There you go.
So,
yeah, let's get to today's game.
Let's actually go into what we were there for.
Yeah.
So,
let's burn it.
We go into tonight's game. We've talked a lot about our rotation tonight. And our rotation
is not
what it should be.
But there's faith.
There is faith. Paxton comes out of the gates, gives up a 2-run home run to JD.
Like usual.
JD loves hitting
home runs.
That's
cash, easy money.
What else is new? And Rella did tell everybody to bet on the over 1 run. No, over
just runs
five.
In the first. Runs in the first.
Just runs in the,
runs
first.
In the first.
Whether
yeah.
it's the Red Sox or the Yankees, yeah. I knew there would be a run in the first, as yeah. there always is when James Paxton is
yes.
on that bump. So if you're listening right now, you know you need to bet that every single
it's
fucking time.
It's common knowledge. Yeah. It'll happen more times than it will.
Honestly, though, tomorrow as well, in both games, in any game, Red Sox, Yankees, you got
first game
the bats are there. Like, probably Tanaka.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think Tanaka's due. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or Domingo.
Either way.
Tanaka or Domingo. I haven't seen Tanaka or Domingo in a while.
So Paxton starts. Gives up a two-run home run in the first, gets out of it, and then the Yankees get up. DJ gets on, Judge gets on, Encarnacion gets on. And then what happens, Rella? Let everybody know.
Well, that's when we pretty much showed up to the place.
That's
when
we
were showing up during the build-up from when it was first and second already. And after that, we get to the goddamn place looking for a spot to look at the game because we got the standing room. And Gleyber David hits one to the fucking moon.
That was a bomb.
And did he pimp it or did he pimp it?
The way that he
admired
that.
He didn't move out of the box. He let the kids play. He stared at that thing. All of the above and did not get thrown at the very next time. You know why? Because we got dudes in the locker room. Who's going to fuck with us? You want to brawl with us? You're not going to throw at us. That's it.
What did you think about that home run, David?
I was about to say that. You know what the crazy part is that James Paxton only gave up 2 hits that entire game.
And when were those hits hit?
The first fucking
so
inning.
Ever since he gave up that home run, like I said before, he threw a no-hitter.
That's wild.
I said that to you before. No, for the entire game.
He was lights out.
He gave up 2 hits for the entire start.
No, I thought you meant that the Yankees didn't get any hits.
No, James Paxton.
Okay, yes.
He gave up 2 hits, obviously, because a home run plus whoever was on, unless it was a walk. Unless it was a walk. But he gave that was a hit also.
No, you were right.
Mookie Betts. And he no hit them for how many innings did he throw after that?
Six. Well, five after the first.
Five additional innings.
Six altogether.
Six total.
That's a start.
Yeah. 100%.
And that is what we needed.
Yeah, 100%. And we capitalized. 100%.
So
that's what we wanted to see.
So we go in here and we're like,
That's a statement.
Our rotation is in shambles. We're fucked. We don't have a good pitcher. Paxton comes out. Paxton's only other good starts were against the Royals and the Red Sox. Red Sox early on. Paxton comes out here against the Red Sox. 2-run home run and then doesn't give up. A literal hit after,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge fucking statement.
No hitter for 6 innings
yeah.
versus whatever Tanaka and all of them have done 12 runs in 1 inning. Like, what are you? That's different.
And
that's,
Relly,
that's
turn you, the page. You pointed out a stat to me in games where who was it?
Canely,
Adi,
Canely, Britton, Ottavino, Chapman.
Canely, Britton, Ottavino, Chapman.
Around like we don't 30 lose. Something and 0.
All it's, you it's need to know is we don't
number.
Lose.
It's a large number and 0.
Which?
And that happened today.
You know
no,
the crazy
it didn't
thing
happen
is?
Today. It didn't happen today.
No, because Adi didn't pitch Adi, today. Adi, but Adi will be there tomorrow. But anyway.
Which is smart, though, because we have a doubleheader tomorrow, which we'll be at both of those games, as well as the game Sunday. Mm-hmm. We're
going in all in. 161, we're like bringing you
so let's,
real
we're
content.
Different. Let's dive into that, then, because you know,
live.
We talked about everything else. Let's dive into tomorrow, because we got Sale versus Domingo tomorrow.
I mean, we beat Sale last time.
So literally a rematch last Sunday.
Yeah, it's going to be and Saturday at 1 p.m. I say we get bottomless brunch tomorrow. And
you said it on the podcast.
It's right across the street.
You said it on the podcast.
And we got
it's
two
really
games.
Easy to say on a podcast. But, Damon, you lock eyes with me.
Yeah, I'm looking
You're
right at
right
you.
Across the table from
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Damon,
I mean, it
knows.
Starts at, what, Damon, 11?
I want bottomless brunch.
No, it starts at 11 to 4. Let me go.
Hell, yeah.
No, I'm saying let's fucking do it.
And we'll take the four to the Yankees to the stadium.
So we'll take the 161.
Easy
161.
Money.
To the four to 161.
Oh, where's that 161? That's
no,
that's
pun
us.
Intended.
Sound like a train?
No pun intended. Staying clear of the closing doors.
What time?
Please.
So the first game starts at what? 1?
105.
But anyway.
1 and then 7?
So we were just talking about, hey, I'm sorry to dive back in, but
yeah.
I really do want to get bottomless brunch.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we will.
Let's do it.
But
yeah, let's do it.
We were just talking about how when Canely, Adi, Britton, and Chapman pitch, we are
a large number in 0.
Number in 0. But here's what I'll say to you, Luke Rella.
That's weird.
We should be.
They're good.
No. We are good, but we should be.
They're what?
We should be good. We shouldn't lose a single game that all four of them are pitching. Unless we went in with a bad
They're four
loss.
Of the better pitchers in the MLB. We're one of the best bullpens.
We
and
are the best
And
bullpen.
That's what people do not...
We're
they
the
they
best
take for granted. We, I think
best
we're the best bullpen.
Bullpen.
That might be my bias,
I don't
but
even
I,
think it's
I'm not going to leave the
I
stats.
It's common knowledge. Damon, what do you think?
Yeah.
You think it's common knowledge?
And if you add Betances too, what?
I think it doesn't really matter when we talk about starting pitching. It's like, you know...
No,
we,
it matters.
And that's
it
why
no,
they were that's
we,
why they were talking about adding a player like fucking Shane Green. They were like, if we add that guy
yeah,
to this already existing rotation with Betances coming back in, we don't need a fucking starter. We don't need to start any game.
Like, no, we could have used
Yeah,
starter.
But then in the deep of the playoffs, game 7, what are you going to do?
I get it. And you're playing against people.
Play,
you know? And that was why it needed
inning.
To be a defensive
that's not,
move.
That's not realistic, though.
Why?
What?
You, know? Playing bull, you can't play a bullpen pitcher every
no,
game.
No, but you start with 7.
You could. The game's changing.
Yeah, but let's be realistic here. You're not,
I mean,
that's not going to happen.
No.
No,
that's not gonna happen.
I mean, hopefully
Seve
can start by a playoff game.
Yeah, I'd hope so. But let's be
if not out
here.
Of the bullpen and get a
no,
long
Seve
get a long
Seve's
reliever,
gonna be short relief.
Yeah,
hopefully we get a long reliever out of him, and that'd be great, and that makes our bullpen even better.
Yeah,
which makes me
he's
think
short leash, long relief.
Yeah,
start a game. Yeah, why not be like a Chad Green type?
No,
a little
because
longer.
You
though.
Want somebody else to start and then Seve come in?
Yeah,
why?
So
do you put him in that Nestor Cortez role and put him after Chad Green?
You put him 3-6.
So Chad after Chad Green?
Yeah.
So do you pair him with Chad Green?
Yeah. No, I pair him with Domingo.
Why? Domingo should go a little longer. You go Domingo 1-2. You're going
to
cut
I
Domingo
go
off
Tanaka,
on that? What if Domingo's feeling
Tanaka,
it? Why are you going to cut him?
I go Tanaka, and then I have first person in relief Chad Green. I go second game Paxton, and then I go first person relief, Canely. And then with the reinforcement of Ottavino, Betances, and Chapman any given day. Like, that's
I think Betances.
Like, we could literally
Betances,
win because of that.
Betances is such an X
He's
factor.
He's key this year.
Betances. Key. If, like, must we forget
I agree.
That in 2017, during that playoff run where we lost to the Astros, Betances became the closer.
His favorite thing in the world.
Aroldis Chapman was demoted.
Yeah, he loved it.
Aroldis Chapman was having a stretch that he's having right now.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight aside, he had a good night tonight.
Yeah.
He had a very good night tonight.
Ah.
Against a good team. You know, he got out of it. So easy, no sweat.
Yep.
Usually he has a sweat. I mean, he always has a sweat no matter
he
what.
He loves sweating.
But I usually have a sweat. Like, he usually makes me work.
Yep.
Tonight he didn't do that. However, in 2017 they swapped him out of that closer role and they put Betances in. Like, why? He's in that same mode right now where he's having a bad stretch. He still has a good ERA, but like, and he had a better ERA before. So like, the recent stretch he's been on is terrible.
Chapman?
And I'm not going to put Chapman on notice right now. I'm not going to say like he's not the closer, because he is, and I just don't have that confidence in him.
No, because
do you feel spoiled. Confident when he comes out on the mound?
Never.
I don't.
No.
I don't.
Because we were spoiled for years. We had Mariano Rivera. Mm. You know how hard it, like, we literally developed.
You can't follow
trust
that
issues.
Up.
We developed trust issues.
But no, but Chapman, because of his persona and because of the fact that the amount of runners he lets on every inning he might, every game he might get the save, but is it that clean? Is it ever that clean? There's always people on. There's always a scoring position. Like,
you know, interesting though.
Possible blown save.
Because we've talked about this before though, because like, Chapman's almost in a transitional phase. Because, you know, his whole career, he's been throwing 100 plus consistently. And he's been throwing fastballs.
He's turning into that Grinky CC type.
And now he can't sit at 100, 100, 102. Yeah. He can't sit there.
He can hit that, though.
I know he can hit it, but he hops out.
He's transitioning down.
So now he's trying to get into that. He's trying to develop his slider now.
Yeah.
Because his slider was
his
shit.
His slider is kind of sick, though.
Okay, listen. His slider was shit before. His slider was like that pitch where, like, I saw Sanchez put the sign up for a slider. I was like, fuck, here we go again.
And it's just they sit
and
on
it. Then they just sit on it and fucking put it the other way, and it's it. But now he's transitioning and he's getting that sharper slider.
It's going to be finesse. Dude, that thing moves.
And then once he gets the slider going and he knows how to throw that now, and then put that 99, 100 miles per hour.
He can
fastball,
hit 100 still, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just saying he has to develop that slider again. Because he's throwing it more than ever this year.
Yeah, I agree.
For
and
sure.
Not,
more than ever this
effective.
Year.
He's transitioning. You're right. He is This is a very big transition period. And I think we're going to see throughout years to come if he stays, which he said he wants
which
to.
Which could be good or bad.
It could bode very well. But, I mean, CC. Grinky is a great example of this. Grinky was a power pitcher.
Yeah.
And now he's turning into a finesse guy who throws that looping curve. And you get that secondary pitch that's really your primary pitch. But, like, Chapman is becoming that guy, but he can still flash. But, I mean, this is a game now where
Chapman's a bad example because he still does throw 90.
Yes, this is a game now where almost every pitcher throws 100.
No,
100, high 90s.
High 90s is more common than usual.
We know you meant.
Yes.
Yes.
More pitchers, more often than not, you're throwing hard. You're a hard pitcher rather than finesse. I mean, that's why players like fucking. I don't even know. I can't give an example. But there's some players that throw slower, and I feel like it's harder to hit because you're not used to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's
like
everything.
The knuckleballers aside.
Yeah, it's different. Yeah.
That's one thing.
It's like the fucking Orioles pitcher who got saved the other night on extra innings.
I mean, that's just
wasn't
nonsense.
He like a shortstop?
Yeah, throwing 55.
That's a position player.
I know. I'm just saying.
All right, let's go back. Let's forecast the rest of this Red Sox series. What do we want to see for the rest of the series? I mean, we all know want a sweep.
Yeah.
But like, what specifically do we want to see out of this team? I want to see the starting pitching. Yeah. Lock in.
I want a pitching duel tomorrow.
Duel.
I want a pitching
Sale.
Duel tomorrow. Sale and Domingo.
I don't. I want Domingo to duel. I want Sale to fucking kick rocks.
Oh, yeah.
I know, but I want
naturally.
Yeah, I know.
I want him. Yeah, I want him to match Sale.
I'm saying.
Match Sale.
Realistically, though,
Sale's gonna have a good game.
Yes, I'm saying realistically, I want a good pitching duel, and then the Yankees obviously want like. Get out late innings and
win the game.
A while and win the game.
Also, we're talking about no moves. The Red Sox move was Andrew Cashner.
The Red Sox didn't make a move.
That's what I'm saying. We don't consider that a move. Yes. And they needed bullpen. They need it. If they're really serious about making
bullpen's bad.
If they're really serious about making a playoff run, they really didn't make a bullpen move.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's bad.
To go off.
Like, what are you going to go off Sale? What if he gives you, like, if he gives you eight innings, scoreless, and it's 1-0, you guys, bad guys.
And we put up two in the next inning because you put out Brian Brazier. Ryan Brazier?
Yeah, terrible.
Or fucking Workman or Maddie Backpack, whatever the fuck it is that Matt calls it. Like, are you really, like, you really didn't make a move? Like, I feel like they are more under fire than we are.
No, because we're more of a spotlight to do something.
But we're in first place.
Yeah.
So they should be way more under fire. Like, this is your league to win. You just won last year.
They're not supposed to win now.
You just won last year.
They're still doing the hangover.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This is a team that just won last year. You're just really saying that they shouldn't have made a move to win now?
No.
I think
we even said we're more scared of them. I'm going to be honest. I'm more scared of them than the fucking Rays. You're going to say...
Yeah, I'm more scared of fucking pillows than the fucking Rays.
But the beginning of the season kind of killed it for them.
The Rays, needless to say...
They started out too slow.
Look, the beginning of the season killed it for the Red Sox because now they're not a threat anymore.
Yeah.
Until they actually make it themselves in the playoffs.
And that's a big saying, too. Like, the beginning of the season, you might not lose the season... Like you can go in a big slump early in the season, but at some point, you can lose the pennant race in, like, March.
100%.
You can lose the pennant race in March, and they started out so slow, and think about it. Like I was looking at Baseball Reference the other day, or standings, because I'm so fucking bored of my job all the time, that all I do is I go on ESPN, I read every single article 7 times over to see if I missed a period or something. I don't miss a period. I rate it 7 times. So I go to that. I check everything else, but whatever. So I go into that. I went into 2018. I went into the playoff race, the wild card race, and I saw how many games it was decided by. Remember last year was a game 163? Two of them.
In the National League, yeah.
There was two game 163s.
The Cubs, the Rockies.
There was two game 163s. There was two game 163s. Do you know... Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, if somebody – how can you even say that an early slump in the season that the Red Sox had cannot have anything – like, it can't affect your season? Like, one single game would have affected that season last year. One game. Literally one game. In the wild card race this year, do you see how many teams that are that close? Like, yeah, it's a 162-game season. That's a lot of games.
Yeah.
But one game matters. Every single game matters, and I feel like the dog days of summer – really make everyone feel like games don't matter as much, like you don't really care. But then when it comes down to it, like right around now, you amp it up. You're like, every game matters. But like every game before that also mattered.
100%.
And to answer your question, what am I looking for the rest of the series? Yeah. I'm looking for Paxton just had a great start tonight. I'm looking for Domingo to go out there and have a good start. I'm looking for Tanaka to dominate. Does he even pitch in the series?
He might pitch next. It hasn't been announced yet.
Let me check it up.
It hasn't been announced yet.
But I'm looking, if Tanaka pitches in the series to fucking dominate, I'm looking. Jay Happ just had a kid.
He's on paternity leave.
Congratulations, Doc Happ.
So who's taking his spot, Chad? We haven't had a bullpen
Probably
game.
Probably Chad, yeah.
And I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that.
I'm looking for winning three out of four games, and I'm looking for a win in the pitcher's duels.
Yeah, for sure.
I want the pitchers to win.
Does three out of four games put the Red Sox out of contention?
If we win three out of four, not only are the Red Sox out, but we're
now 12 and a half games out. Yes. Does that put them out of contention?
I'm not even worried about winning 3 out of 4.
With about 50 games left.
100%.
Not that many. 100%. The big thing is there's not that many head-to-head games with us.
No, that's it.
We discussed that. Yeah,
that's it. They have four more after this.
They should have been sellers.
They're done.
They have four more after this.
All right.
If we win this series... The Red Sox are fucked, but it's more important for our momentum.
Yeah, 100%. All right.
After that trade deadline, we need this.
All right. Yeah, I agree.
All right. I think we did a great job tonight.
Let's do it. All right. So I think that we'll wrap this up. But tomorrow we're going to both games.
Yep.
Both of them. If you can,
if you're at stands, hit us up. You probably have no idea what we look like.
Yeah, but. We'll be at stands. We'll be at
I put a sticker on
center,
my face.
The center field bar. Probably both games. We got center field.
Unless we Photoshop to get back behind the plate, but there's probably seats taken.
Tune in to our next episode. I think we're going to take a deep dive into the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry and the difference between the rivalry now and then. I think we're going to take a deep dive into that into the next episode.
I think
say
it's a territory we can explore.
If it's better, worse, or kind of like what our thoughts about that are. So I think next episode we're going to go into that a little more deep in the more detail. And anybody else, any other closing remarks?
Wait, so this is being obviously recorded Friday night after the game. Next episode is going to be recorded, as he said, Sunday night after the series is over, to give a little recap on everything that happened in the series. Hopefully, saying it now after one win, we get 4 wins total. But, I mean, I'd be happy with 3. 4 would be dope. I do not want to lose the next 3. But we'll definitely recap that and give any other forward thoughts about the rest of the season and where we're at. But I think the greater majority of us, the real Yankee fans, are over this trade deadline woes and the fact that we didn't get them, and the fact that this fucking team can win a World Series right now, and the team is there, and with the help of Seve and Dellin and all these guys, Giancarlo, Sanchez, all these guys coming back. I mean, this team without them just won tonight handedly.
100%.
And I think with that, we can beat these teams no problem.
Fuller, closing remarks.
Closing remarks. Hey.
Is this
Let's
thing on?
Ride.
Is this thing on?
We're good. Thank you for embarking on this journey with us. We're fucking savages in the box. Stick along. This will be great. And let's fucking go, Yanks.
Let's eat.
Let's eat.
LGY.
Big dogs out of you.
Buy the shirt. Right. I just put a shirt on this.
Yeah, we got shirts available in our Instagram bio. Go buy it. Savages in the Bronx. That's not the name of it.
Let's go win a fucking series.
Let's go win a series.
Let's go sweep a fucking series.
Yeah. Let's
sweep a fucking series. Let's do this thing. Shut the shit down.
Let's sweep the series.
Goodbye. Good night. Have a nice night. See you tomorrow.
Hey, you guys just watched the pilot.
Yeah, this is the pilot. We're calling it season 1, episode 1, Cashman, You Ignorant Slut. And that's the name of the podcast.
We still love you and trust you.
We still love you. You are Dark Knight. We love you.
Let's go, Yanks!
Good night.
Let's go, fucking Yanks.
And good night.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.